So thank you for the introduction. Usually when you want to image some small phantoms or ex vivo samples, there are some requirements. So because they are this small, you often need to have a high spatial resolution and a relatively high frequency in order to visualize as much as many wavelengths as you can in your sample. The actuation is often done with the needle, as you can see here and here, for brain tissues embedded in some gels. And it gives some images that you maybe have already seen. What we propose is a new 3D printed device that is meant to be easy to handle, also quite cheap, and that can produce images that have an amplitude at least as important as what we can see here, with a high spatial resolution. So here is our elastography bench. You can see the piezoelectric driver here, and a needle for the actuation. On it, we put what we printed. So it is made of an Helmholtz coil here with two copper loop bands and two capacity trimmers. This is the sample holder. Inside there is a rat brain. You can actually glide it inside the coil, and it will stop at the height where the uniformity is the best. We also have a coaxial loop tuned at 200 megahertz. So for tuning, you just have to turn the two capacity trimmers, and for matching, the height of the coupling loop should be adjusted. The orange part that is printed will only cost you, will cost less than 150 euros normally. So it is really cheap compared to commercial solutions you can find for coils. Here are the results we had for a flash 3D sequences and a breaker scan of 4.7 Tesla's. We calculated the SNR for a gel that was beyond engineered and put into a commercial gel, and for a rat brain embedded in agarose. And as you can see, the signal-to-noise ratio is quite important if you take into account the voxel size. Now we had some elastography done with a sequence based on turbospinico sequences. As you can see, we can clearly see the wave propagating at 600 Hz. And after reconstruction, the bioengineered gel is really less rigid than the one on the outside, and we can clearly see it. On the brain, we add three frequencies imaging at 600, 800, and 1000 Hz, and we can also see the wave propagating, even if the amplitude at 1000 Hz is quite diminished compared to what we had at 600 Hz. In order to validate that the data we had was sufficient to actually get results, we compared what we had with literature. So we can see that in Cerebrum, the viscoelastic parameters that we compared were quite in accord with one article, but actually this article was on living mice, and the device used as well as the reconstruction method was quite different, so it seems a bit tricky to compare it. So we tried to look the differences between two structures inside the same study. So we found that the cerebrum is stiffer than the cerebellum, and in this article, the dispersion was assessed by the phase angle. It was found the same in both regions, and we measured the dispersion with the exponent of the power law that we fitted on our data, And we find it's the same in both cases. So our results seem to match. On two other studies, we found that hippocampus was different than cortex. And we found that the conservation modules was higher in hippocampus, like in those two studies. So we seem to be in agreement again. Finally, recently, we improved a bit the transmission of a device, and we reached an amplitude of 25 micrometers. That seems a lot better than what we had before. And again, with agarose, we are able to see the difference between our commercial gel and the gel in the middle. So we seem to have developed a tool that could be really useful for elastography of ex vivo samples and small phantoms. It still needs some improvements, so soon it will look like this. We will, for an easier matching, it will be possible to turn this rod, actually screw it. We'll make move this part here, and the height of the coupling loop can change like this. We meant this design for imaging tissues that are bioengineered and with living cells included in it. For that to be passing, we need to include heating and monitoring of the temperature, as well as a noroval of carbon dioxide. That should be done in a couple months. And in order to increase the signal-to-noise ratio, we also want to add cooling to the coil in the outer ring. So thank you for your attention. It's just a spinnaker sequence. We have two reflector or two, and we just have a gradient for the. Sorry, we just have the gradient for the movement imaging, and we actually do it in the three directions. So slice, phase, read, and then we couple it during the rest.
Yes.
Sorry?
So it has to do with the acquisition, not the evaluation?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. What is the measure time for your turbo spin echo sequence? The measure time, the total acquisition time for one frequency?
It's 17 minutes for one acquisition. And
one acquisition means one frequency?
Means one direction, so we do it three times.
Okay, three times?
Yeah. And then,
okay.
Yes.
How did you prepare the frame before embedding it to the gel?
No, we didn't fix it, as we thought that formalin would change the viscoelastic properties of the brain. Actually, that was more of a test for our device right now, so we didn't think too much about it. We just used like low gelling agarose, low temperature gelling agarose, in order to not damage it too much. But I think the best would be to do the imaging right after the death of the animal later.
Okay, thanks.
Yes. Once again, please.
So the tissue,
yes.
Is it just sitting at room temperature? Is the tissue sitting at room temperature,
yeah,
or you
now
have any way of?
It's just at room temperature, and we are making a knitted pad now. It's just copper wires, and we put a high power, and it will heat. The problem is that we don't really control when it overheats, so we really have to have a probe to be able to stop the heating where the temperature goes above 37 degrees.
Cool. Thank you.
Yes.
Quick question. What material are you printing with? How long does it take to print the entire thing? And also, how often do you have to replace the your 3D printed structure?
For now, we haven't replaced it, but it's only been a couple of months that we use it. And it takes like 1 hour to print it, because it's a really simple way of printing. It's just some threads that are aligned and in layers. Actually, that is why it is cheap. If you use a more advanced printing technique, it will cost a lot more.
Sorry, what was the material you're printing in?
It's LDA. It's some kind of plastic. Yes.
I have just one comment. The rat brain you were scanning, it definitely deteriorated, because we had the experiment that the brain tissue would deteriorate in 5 minutes. So if it's not fixed and it's only simply embedded in agar, I think in an hour, I think roughly estimating your scanning time, 17 minutes per direction. So if you finish all three directions, there will be roughly an hour. So I think the brain tissue would definitely deteriorate.
Okay.
So I would really suggest either to fix it with formaldehyde, then embed, then mirror. Otherwise, there is a time theory happening, like when the brain will just deteriorate, and whatever you measure will be just the untrustworthy, I guess, stiffness. So because the measurement was too long.
Okay.